to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
We pray, God, that you would speak a word into our hearts. God, a word that will remind us that you are God and that you are God all by yourself. We thank you right now. For this joy that we have, joy that the world didn't give, joy that the world cannot take away. Yeah. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you remain standing in your Bibles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we want to look at verses 9 and 10 as we shall talk today from the subject, let God bless your family.
Amen. Amen.
Let God bless your family. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Let us read it together. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez.
Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested.
Amen. Now the New International Version reads this way, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that thou would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. God bless you. You may be seated. In the presence of the Lord on this Sunday before Family Day, I want to just remind all of the believers and every household of faith in this place today that God is still in the blessing business. And you ought to let God bless your family. Let me hear the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. In the year 2000, most of us will remember this popular little book that came out, written by Brother Bruce Wilkinson, that popular book that everybody had or was talking about, called Amen, The Prayer of Jabez. Not only did it become a runaway hit and a longtime New York Times bestseller, it really became a franchise. Y'all remember that? Amen. You could go to the bookstore. You could buy not only the Prayer of Jabez book. You could buy the Prayer of Jabez for women. You could buy the Prayer of Jabez for teens. The Prayer of Jabez for kids. The Prayer of Jabez devotional. The Prayer of Jabez journal. And the Prayer of Jabez leather edition. Not to mention, you could get music about it. You could get t-shirts and hats and posters and coffee mugs and calendars, and even you could get the Prayer of Jabez mouse pad for your computer. And so without a doubt, this obscure Bible personality is now a bona fide star. But even though Bruce Wilkinson has done much to affirm the divine blessings that come to righteous people who practice believing prayer, there really have been some unfortunate side effects to his remedy for pain. Amen. And one of the issues that I have with the book and the way it was promoted is that, in my opinion, amen, the book really placed the focus, it placed the spotlight on the wrong person. Yeah. And I want to submit to you today that this text is really not so much about Jabez as it is about God. Anybody know God today? Anybody know that God is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God? Amen. And so it's not just about the prayer of Jabez. It's really about the sovereign, holy, wise, faithful, and gracious God to whom Jabez prayed. And the message about God that this text proclaims is good news for every believer, not just Jabez. The Lord God is still in the blessing business. But before we discuss divine blessings any further, let me put a few footnotes here. First of all, let me affirm that God is sovereign. Tell your neighbor, God is sovereign.
God is sovereign.
Which means that he has absolute control, he has complete authority, and full discretion over everything. Did you know that nothing happens unless God, amen, either through his divine will or his permissive will, God has something to do with everything that happens in the life of a believer? And that ought to be good news for somebody today, because it tells me that my enemies, my haters, nor the devil himself can do anything to me unless God gives him permission. And you know what? God has, I've said before that God has to put his stamp of approval on anything that comes your way. And do you remember what his stamp of approval is? His stamp of approval is this: God will not put more on you than you can bear. Oh, I know I got two or three witnesses here who can look back over your life, and when you were in the middle of that thing, when you were facing that situation, you didn't know how you were going to make it. You didn't know how you would make it through. You didn't know how you would make it out. But when I look back over my life and think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days. And because God was in control, tell your neighbor, I won't complain. I won't complain. So the first footnote is this, that God is sovereign. God is God all by himself. In that old song that our choir used to sing and still sing every now and then, the song said, the song is "You Can't Hurry God." Amen, amen. Sister Smith used to sing that song. And in the verse of that song, she would always say this: "He said I'm God all by myself, and I don't need anyone else. He may not come when you want him." Come on, where are my folk at who know he'll be on time? And do you know why? It's because he's sovereign. Amen. God is not subject to time. He does not move according to time. God is eternal, and he moves based upon what happens in eternity. And so we've got to remember that the blessings of God are the blessings of God. Somebody missed it. You missed it. Amen. I said the blessings of God are the blessings of God. See, we lay claim to them. Talking about my blessings. No, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have nothing. Come on, who realizes that if God hadn't touched you, you wouldn't have woken up this morning? Who realizes that if God hadn't put food on your table, you wouldn't have eaten breakfast this morning? God is sovereign. But secondly, I need to place a footnote here to remind you that the blessings of God are directly and intimately connected to your personal relationship with Him. See, a lot of folk running up in God's face talking about, bless me. Ain't talked to Him all week. A lot of folk running up into God's face saying, bless me and bless my child. And some folk don't get to God until they need something. Do you know you get offended when folk don't remember your phone number until they need something. Do I have a witness today? You get offended when folk, amen, they haven't texted you, they haven't emailed you, they haven't even sent you smoke signals until it comes time that they have a need. And I'm here to tell you that if that offends you, then you need to know it offends God when we don't pray until we get in trouble, when we don't praise until we have a need, when we don't worship until we want something from Him. The blessings, our blessings are intimately connected to a relationship with Him. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you know Him? Ephesians 1:3 says that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. But even though you occupy a blessed position in Christ, you can fail to appropriate the blessings of God in your daily life because you don't communicate with Him, because you don't tell Him, I love you. Where are the wives at, amen, who you know, come on, I said it in Bible study, our last Bible study, you don't, all that talk is good, honey, I love you, sugar, I love you, and some of y'all don't even get that, amen, amen, baby, I love you, but amen, behind that love, you want to see some other stuff, am I right about it? Amen. With that love, you want to get a flower every now and then, amen, you've got to have a relationship with Him. But then the third footnote I want to preface this message with is that you have to always remember, and I say this all of the time, that instead of doing what we want and then turning around and asking God to bless what we've done, we've got to start doing what God is blessing. And you cannot do with what God is blessing if you don't know this word, if you haven't had an extensive examination of the word, the mind of God, the will of God. You will never know what God is blessing if you don't get in this word. Do I have a witness today? Amen. Amen. But I've come by to tell families and every individual here today that God is still in the blessing business, but you need to, amen, do what He's blessing. And let me just tell you real quickly, let me retell the story of Jabez so that you can see what God is blessing. First of all, God blesses the life that is acquainted with purity. I didn't expect any amens right through here. I said the prayer of Jabez informs us that God blesses the life that is acquainted with purity. Notice the first thing, 1 Chronicles 4:9 tells us, the first thing that it tells us about Jabez, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. The text does not tell us in what sense Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, but the meaning of the word and the context of the passage indicate that the honor of Jabez was spiritual, not physical, not mental, not financial, not political, not social. It was spiritual. He had a pure spiritual walk with God. Do I have a witness today? He had a strong moral character, convictions, conduct. His motives were pure. See, a lot of folk in the church are doing the right stuff, but their motives aren't pure. Don't fool yourself. Not everybody up in here is here out of pure motives. That's why folk can get mad over any little thing and quit, because their motives weren't right in the first place. Do I have a witness today who know that when you come into the house of God to worship God, you don't care what anybody else says. You don't care what anybody else does. They can speak to you if they want to. They don't have to speak. I've come to have an encounter with God. Whew, thank you, God. You better have some pure motives. The honorable lifestyle of Jabez was a key reason why God blessed him. I that's why I love the first number of Psalms, those first three verses. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And watch this, and he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth is going to prosper. Come on, where are my folk who determined I'm going to prosper? Come on, where are my folk? I'm determined I'm going to prosper. I don't care what my haters say, I'm going to prosper. Let folk lie on me, let them talk, I'm still going to prosper, because I'm going to focus my attention on pleasing God, on being right in his sight. You may not like me, but I know my God loves me. Where are my folk who know that he loves you here? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I need to plug this in here. To say that Jabez was honorable doesn't mean he was perfect. Just because the text says he was honorable, don't fool yourself into thinking he was perfect. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Because Jabez, like all saints of God, somebody's gonna get mad at me, but I'm gonna say it anyway, he was both sinful and righteous at the same time. Now I know not you, I know, you know, I know you. Amen. You holier than the rest of us. And I know your halo shines brighter than everybody else's halo. And I know you got some, your wings, and they don't have any dust on them. But there are one or two of us in here who have to admit that, yes, Lord, I'm trying to walk right. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to talk right. But every now and then, my flesh rises up. Somebody pushes me the wrong way. I was stopped at the mall. Amen. On my way back yesterday, and there were some ladies out there cussing and arguing and cussing and about to fight, and somebody called the police, and it was all because, amen, one lady drove in the parking space that the other ladies had been sitting there waiting for. And I'm looking at some of y'all, amen, amen. Different situation, but you've been there. Because how many of you know your flesh will rise up every now and then? Lord, I'm not everything I ought to be. I'm not everything that I want to be. But is there anybody here that can say, I thank God I'm not all that I used to be? I've made some progress. Come on. So him being honorable doesn't mean he was perfect. Tell your neighbor, they're not the same thing. If being perfect was the requirement for being blessed, none of us would ever qualify. Because no person who has lived on earth has ever been perfect except Jesus the Christ. But the good news is that God is not looking for perfection from your life. He's looking at the direction of your life. Oh my, oh my. And God will bless you if you're going in the right direction. I haven't arrived, but at least I'm going in the right direction. I'm not everything I ought to be, but at least, Lord, I'm headed. Come on, some of you can remember when you weren't even thinking about going the right way. Your mind was so far away from doing the right thing that if the truth would be told, you were going backwards. But thanks be to God that God blesses the life. God blesses the family that is acquainted with purity. There ought to be something about your house that's different from everybody else's house. Amen, amen. As a matter of fact, on the street that you live on, the reputation at your house ought to be that if you get sick and you need somebody to pray for you, you can go to. If you get in trouble, or if your money gets funny and your change gets strange and you need some bread or you need an egg, amen, somebody on your street ought to know you can go to that house. Your house ought not be known as the house of gossip. Your house ought not be known as the house of sexual immorality and promiscuity and all of the bad things. There ought to be some purity in your house. I'm trying to tell you, if you want the blessings of God, where are my folk who will admit we got some cleaning up to do? Got some cleaning up to do. So number one, God blesses the life, the home, the family that is acquainted with purity. But then secondly, the prayer of Jabez teaches us that God also blesses the life that is acquainted with pain. And I was sharing this morning with our ministers in our ministers training meeting this morning, amen, because one of the fascinating things about Jabez is the meaning of his name. Verse 9 says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Now, you Bible readers know that according to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, that pain in childbirth is a part of the curse because of Eve's sin. Amen. But the fact that Jabez's mother gives him a name associated with pain suggests that the pain she had to deal with giving birth to him was greater than any normal, ordinary pain. Amen. As a matter of fact, on the eighth day after his birth, amen, when it was time for his circumcision, that's when they would name the child, amen, the pain was still so fresh on her mind. 8 days later, she said, because of the pain I had to deal with giving birth to you, I'm going to name you Jabez, which means pain. It means grief. It means sorrow. And so by giving him this name, amen, and you have to understand that during Bible times, names were significant. You know, we got all kind of names now, Laquanacia, and I better be careful because somebody up here is sure going to be named, something I'm going to call, amen. But during Bible times, names were significant. And so chances were that if your name had to do with pain, then you would spend the rest of your life having to deal with pain. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't name your child pain. Don't name your child poverty. Don't name your child frustration. Amen. You better give them a name that's going to speak to the quality of life they'll have in God. Is there anybody here who's glad that God has changed your name? I see a lot of folk named Mercedes. They ain't driving no Mercedes. Praise the Lord. Move on, Pastor. See, most times, y'all, when we think about a blessed life or a blessed family, we think in terms of painless, carefree, happy. You know, some of y'all like that when you're about to get married, amen, and you painted this picture of how your marriage was going to be, and if you don't want nobody to know I'm talking about you, just keep looking up and just smile, amen, and say amen. But when you went into that thing, amen, you thought it was going to be, every day was going to be smiles and love and sugar this and sugar that, amen, and amen. But some of y'all, if you could testify right now, would have to admit that the marriage you thought was, amen, on Golden Pond ended up, amen, a nightmare on Elm Street. Oh my, oh my, oh my. But I've come by to tell you that even though we like to think that blessings only deal with pleasure and carefreeness and happiness and all, I've come by to tell somebody today that God can bless you in your pain. As a matter of fact, God will sometimes use pain to bless you in a way that words cannot describe. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm trying to tell somebody today, amen, if you look back and reflect on your life, some stuff that you went through, had you not gone through it, you wouldn't be the person you are today. As a matter of fact, some of the stuff that you've gone through, amen, you can now look back on it and say, I thought that was going to destroy me. I thought it was going to defeat me. I thought it was going to take me out. But look at me. I'm a survivor. Where are my survivors? I'm a survivor. And after all that I've been through, I still have joy. Come on, where are my folks? The doctor gave you a bad diagnosis. Amen. The counselor said the marriage would never work. But here you are 5, 10, 15 years later, and you can say, after all that I've been through, woo, I can praise God because I know he's a keeper.
Is there anybody here who knows he's a keeper? Where are my folk who know that he's a waymaker? Where are my people who know he's a doctor in a sick room? Never lost a case. Give him praise. So God will use pain to develop us into what he wants us to be. Candles got to be burned in order to give light. Coal has to be consumed before it can produce heat. Grapes have to be crushed. Where my wine bibblers? Wheat has to be ground before you can get flour to batter your chicken and your pork chops. And cornmeal got to be crushed up before you can put it on your catfish. White perch. Dawson said, you're making me hungry. And I've just come by to tell somebody today that we've got to go through some pain in order to experience true blessings. Thank you, God. But then here's my final point, Amen. If you want your family to be blessed, if you're going to be blessed, first of all, you've got to always remember that God blesses the life, God blesses the family that is acquainted with purity. Clean it up. Tell your neighbor, clean it up, clean it up. Secondly, God blesses the life that is acquainted with pain. Don't let pain deter you from believing that God can bring joy into your situation. Don't let heartache, don't let disaster, don't let nothing convince you that God is not able to bless you. Watch this, even in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the trouble. I think it was Barbara Bush, George H.W. Bush's wife, who said after Hurricane Katrina and all those people were being housed over in the Astrodome in Houston, and she said, some of them have never lived this good. Amen. Now, I don't know about at that time, but I know this. Some of them can say now, we ain't ever had it better. I've heard some of them say, thank God for Katrina. I'm living better. I'm eating better. I'm driving better. Is there anybody here who understands that God can bless you even through your pain? But then finally, God blesses those acquainted with purity. He blesses those acquainted with pain. But here's the last point. God blesses the life and the family that is acquainted with prayer. Let me ask your families, when was the last time you had family prayer? See, I don't understand how folk come to church and pray like crazy. Amen. And get mad if you tell them you're praying too long. But don't pray at the house. Folk get mad because pastor didn't come to the hospital and pray for me. And you don't pray for your own self. Tell your neighbor, if you want the blessings of God, you better get acquainted with prayer. Do I have a witness today? Verse 9 records Jabez's reality. He was a godly man with a painful life. But verse 10 reports his response. See, the response is important. I don't care what you're going through, you need to be careful how you respond to it. I heard somebody say that it's not what folk call you, it's what you answer to. Ooh, come on, I ought to have a witness up in here today. He was a godly man with a painful life, but verse 10 reports his response. Look at his response. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. One of the reasons Jabez was so popular with so many people is because he's a person that most of us can relate to. Think about it. Think about it. The text doesn't praise Brother Jabez for being wise. It doesn't praise him for being strong. It doesn't praise him for being rich. And it does not celebrate him for being gifted, talented, or accomplished. The thing that made Jabez special was the simple fact that he prayed. That's it. And the prayer of Jabez demonstrates that if you want to experience the blessings of God, it happens after prayer. Now, let me tell you three things about prayer, and I'll be finished. Three things about his prayer, and three things that you need to incorporate into your prayer life if you're going to be blessed. The